Hey everybody, I want to do something a little bit different since it seems like we're going to be secluded in our homes for some more time, and because I don't see any sense in doing more devotions about coronavirus, I think we're going to start a series of devotions on biblical theology. Now, I know a term like biblical theology sounds like it's going to be about as interesting as reading a phone book, but just give me a minute to explain. We're just going to have this video as kind of an introduction. Biblical theology is just a term we use to describe the overall story of the Bible. It's just stepping back and looking at the big picture so that we see everything in the Bible is really telling one story. There's 66 books, but there's one main theme that runs through all of Scripture. Let me just show you how Jesus said it. If you want to grab a Bible, you can, or I'll put it on the screen. In Luke 24, Jesus has risen, but his disciples don't seem to know it or at least be sure about it yet. In fact, a couple of disciples are walking down the road leaving Jerusalem, and Jesus appears to them. Now, they were so distraught that they didn't even recognize him, right? So they're discouraged because they expected Jesus was going to do something different than what he did. They expected that he would set himself up as king of Israel and not that he would die on the cross. So they're thinking, you know, how could a crucified man be the Messiah? So as they're walking and they're dejected, they were talking about what had happened, the betrayal and the arrest and the crucifixion. And they even knew that morning that some of the women disciples had gone to the tomb and found the grave empty. So in Luke 24, starting at verse 14, it says, they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, and Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yet certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women said, but him they saw not. So that's kind of their description of their hope, or really currently their hopelessness. They knew Jesus to be a prophet by his words and by his miracles. They were astonished that the religious leaders had condemned him. And now their hope is lost, right? They said, we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. But now they think there's no hope for God's people. They don't have hope. They don't even have a body. The tomb is empty. Now, listen to Jesus as he responds to him. It's not as delicate as you'd expect. They trusted some of the promises of God, but they had ignored others. And he scolds them essentially for failing to believe everything in Scripture. Luke 24, starting at verse 25, it says, he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, or the Messiah, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So he says, they're slow of heart to believe all the revelation of God. Right? Had they paid attention to the entire word of God, they would have known that the Christ, that is the Messiah, should suffer and die and rise again in glory. And now that's quite an assertion, right? That all the totality of biblical revelation would tell you that God promised a Savior who would save not by political or military might, but that would save by dying and raising again. That's the kind of assertion that demands proof. And so that's what he does. It says he began at Moses, right, the first books of the Bible, and continued through the prophets, expounding, exposing how it all pointed to him. Later, after he leaves them, the two disciples look at each other and say, how couldn't we have recognized him? Right? Look at what they say, Luke 24, verse 32. They said to one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now, how great is that? Right? Remember, Jesus said they had been slow-hearted, but now slow hearts become hearts on fire when they see the full revelation of Scripture points to this glorious plan of salvation through Jesus. Now, I think Luke in particular wants to make sure that we know this. He's the only one who records that full conversation with the disciples on that road to Emmaus. And then he sort of doubles down on the message by the next story he tells in Luke 24. Jesus disappears from the two disciples at Emmaus, and he reappears with a large group of disciples in Jerusalem. And they can hardly believe what they're seeing. They're certain that Jesus is a ghost. He's a spirit. And he tells them, right, look at my hands and my feet and touch me. And by the way, do you have some food? Let's eat together, right? So they eat some broiled fish and some honeycomb. And that not honeycomb like the cereal, honeycomb like a bee would make. You know, you can't touch a spirit. You can't feel its hands. It's not going to sit down and eat with you. So proving to them that it really was him risen from the dead, look at what he says, Luke 24, starting at verse 44. He said to them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So again, we see the totality of Scripture. This time the terms the Law of Moses, the Prophets, the Psalms are used. He opens their understanding, right? He opens their mind to see how the narrative of Scripture unfolds as this story of his life and suffering and his death and resurrection. Now, that's one of the reasons I think we should study biblical theology. By studying that overarching theme of Scripture, we find that all of God's Word, frankly, even parts that we would be surprised by, are actually pointing to God's plan of salvation through Jesus. But there's another reason we should study it too, and maybe you didn't catch it in there the first time. So look at the words of Jesus again. He said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture, and he said unto them, thus it was written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Jesus goes back through Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and he opens their understanding. I wish I had a record of what he said there in verse 45, just summarizes it and says Jesus is teaching them all these things, opening their understanding so they understand Scripture, right? But then he gives them actually two reasons for that. First, that understanding all of Scripture points to him and his death and resurrection, but second, that knowing that overarching theme of Scripture is the cause for repentance and remission of sins to be preached in his name among all nations. That is, biblical theology is not just for the purpose of knowing Jesus, it is also for the goal of making him known. In other words, if I can say it like this, you have a role to play in the story of Scripture. Right? As a disciple of Jesus, you're brought into this story, the greatest story ever told, because it's your calling to make that story known to others. Isn't that what Jesus is telling them? And if you just picture them, those disciples in that upper room with Jesus, their hearts on fire as he shows them how everything points to them, him, and then he sends them out with that story of salvation. You know, the whole world is as hopeless as those disciples on the road to Emmaus were. But the totality of God's word, all of Scripture, is given so that that hopelessness is replaced by hope. That's why we're going to do some devotions on biblical theology, because just like those disciples, our calling is to know Jesus and